What is going on, men? It's your boy Crimson. You know, I was thinking about something. I was thinking about how I became a sociopath. And this all started with a a PayPal dollar donation that was sent. It wasn't a PayPal. Jesus Christ. It was a comment that was sent to Terrence Pop on his live stream Tuesday, May 3rd, May 2nd. This guy said, hey Pop, how do I stop being a sociopath? You can't. To that guy, I hope to God you see this, man. You can't. Now, here's the thing. Because I had to become a fucking sociopath in order to fight narcissistic people. You don't turn it off. It never goes off. You may silence it for a moment, but you never switch. And here's the thing. When you've put enough repetitions doing piece of shit things, you become a master at being a piece of shit. Administrative violence becomes a thing. Social engineering becomes a thing. Gaslighting becomes a thing. All tactics used to distract and destroy a person's mind. Deflecting is another one. Push-pull is another one. For those of you who have no idea what that is, what do I mean by that? Push-pull is like 1 minute you like a person and the next minute you don't. Hot-cold is another one. Is another way to describe that. Now, I don't use any of those tactics because those are bitch tactics. What I do is I spoon-feed a person's logic back to them, and I stare at them dead in their fucking eyes so that I can feel their fucking pain and their ignorance. That's more fucking brutal. It's a little more fucking psychotic, if you ask me. But when somebody's pissed me off, and I was thinking about that today, I tend to just, like, it's like taking a bowl of shit. Taking a big spoon of that shit and then just like force feeding it to them and just watching them fucking twist and turn. And then after they're done with that session, I'm like, okay, did you learn your lesson? That's the type of sociopath I became. It's like chaotic neutral. So, how did I become a sociopath? Well, it all started with my ex. You see, I come from a history of narcissistic, abusive people in my family. Where that came from for me was constantly needing to be on the defensive. My dad just wouldn't let up in terms of asking me what I did wrong, why I did it. Well, if then you did this, then why didn't you do that? And it's like, once you've been put in that corner once, why didn't you do this instead? You know, as if he was there in that situation to, like, watch over me. It's like, dude, if it doesn't come to your mind, it doesn't come to your mind. Right? That's psychological abuse, by the way. Like, basically getting somebody to, in hindsight, fix the problem. And, you know, when they try to dupe me into that, I immediately tell them, like, if I could go back in time with the knowledge that I have now, it would be easy to fix. And then they try to restate the, you know, I can't remember the fucking word right now. I'm only operating on 45 minutes of sleep. Reiterate. When they try to reiterate the question, I immediately just respond to them back with the same thing. And then when they say it again, I say, you're going to drive yourself insane asking the same question. You're not going to get any better answer than that. If I could go back in time with the knowledge that I have now, the problem never would have happened. Why didn't it occur to you in the time? Because that wasn't the option at the time. If it was the option at the time, it would have been fixed. This never would have happened if that was the option at the time. And they'd get so fucking irritated and angry. Because what they're trying to do is start a logic fight with you. Or what the other individual's trying to do is start a logic fight with you. And those are just pointless. Those are just for ego. And the moment that you realize the moment you get to turn that into like upside down on its head and get to basically make fun of them for trying to get into an ego fight with you. So here's how I became a sociopath. First, I dated a girl, right? Very narcissistic. And she would always do that to me. Well, then, if, you know, what was it? It was about a girl. Like, if you knew her back then why the fuck did you add her knowing that you're in a relationship with me? I didn't know it would be a problem. How did you not know it was going to be a problem? We're in a relationship together because we were friends before. And all of a sudden, you think it's okay to be friends now? Yeah. Why would you think it's okay to be friends now if we're in a relationship? You see what I'm saying? A psychotic fucking... So eventually... When I calmed my emotions permanently, when they were just completely ironed and steamed to the point of not really giving a damn, I eventually just kind of gave in. I gave in to the... How do I explain this, man? I gave in to not giving a fuck. The stoicism. And I realized that when I would just not give a fuck, there was something that was happening at the same time. I would be concerned about how she felt about me afterwards. And I would read her. And as soon as I would see disappointment, I would just say, "Eh, it happens. She'll get over it." And she would. About a day or so later, she'd get over it. You see, the thing is about us human beings is that we want the immediate, right? We want everything to happen right away. We want them to think of us so highly immediately after that type of engagement. Doesn't happen that way. Doesn't work. So... fast forward. After several sessions and several years of that abusive behavior, day and night, minute after minute after minute, by the third year, I just didn't give a fuck anymore. And I just started reading her. Like, what does she actually want? And I remember just thinking, like, God, do I have to be the adult in this fucking situation? Why do I always have to be the adult in this situation? That's all. What I just said is going to come into play later. Now, here's the thing. I started to become cold and callous. So one day she had $10 in her ashtray. I went, took it, went to go grab a soft drink, and then I put the change in the ashtray. To those of you thinking it's just a you know, you put the change back. No, that's not okay. I took $10 from her ashtray by not telling her or asking her for permission. That was her emergency money for gas, right? But at the time, I just saw it as, I'm only going to get like a $2 drink. Like, it's not that big of a deal. It's a very big deal. Especially in California when gas is fucking $5 a gallon. And so, I borrowed it, put the $8 back, and then she gave me fucking a huge explosive argument about it. And I just sat there calmly drinking my soda, not giving a fuck. And I thought to myself, why do I have to be smarter than her? Like, why do I have to fucking, like, explain that it's okay because I have money? Like, we were both working together making, like, $20 an hour. Plus overtime. So, to me, it was like, dude, I'll fucking pay it back. It's not that big of a deal. Get the fuck over it. And in the back of my head, I had bought her kids' shoes, paid for her fucking food when she would go out and drink. I would do all these things, right? But I never threw it in her face because to me it was just, it's non sequitur. It's non-issue. Like, who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck what I did? And I don't really care that I fucking hurt your feelings over $2 because it just shows how immature and mentally unstable you are, which is true, but at the same time, taking $2 out of somebody's ashtray like that when they need it for gas, that's their emergency money, that's fucked up. So, fast forward. I started to read her and I started to predict her fucking movements. And I started to predict her character, and finally it got to a point where, like, I started to be like 1 to 2 steps ahead of her every fucking time. And I thought my relationship with her was getting smoother because I was able to stay 1 to 2 steps ahead of her, nonchalant, like I didn't give a fuck. There were times when she loved it and adored it, and when we would fight, she would absolutely hate it. For example, she was about to, she hangs up on, like, we were getting into a fight, she hangs up on me, and I said, let me guess, this is the part where you don't talk to me for day after day after day, and then you go take off to fucking Yuma to go be with your quote-unquote family, while you spend all your money, and then you come back on Sunday broke as shit, needing more money, I'll see you on Sunday. And that was it. Like, I wouldn't hear from her for like 3 or 4 days, and then she'd come back after her fucking trip to Yuma, and I'm like, hey, like, everything I said, you know, came true. Like, it's almost like I can predict your fucking pattern of behavior here. So, in any case, when I started to realize I was doing that, I started to then break her down. I started to just use her tactics against her. I would have a girl, like, favorite or like one of my pictures by thirst trapping. And, you know, I would put, like, little hashtags or something to, like, put my pictures in a certain demographic. And, you know, I'd get fucking girls, like, liking my stuff. Like, for example, I would take a picture with my girlfriend's dog. And I said my little best friend, knowing that that would get attention from other girls and, like, fucking piss off my ex because that wasn't my dog. Or I would take pictures with her kids and say I love my family. And she would fucking lose her mind. And I did this intentionally to just fuck with her head. So those are very vindictive pieces of shit moves to make. Another thing that I would do was gaslight her. And I started to use her techniques against her so that she could get a sting and a little taste of what she was doing. You know? So a good example of that would be, like, I would go flirt with a girl at a bar, just slightly, just like, talk to her for maybe 3 or 4 sentences, throw a little pickup line in there, and then just kind of, like, stare at her and smile kind of playfully, and then just walk away with a straight face. And then, as she would say, like, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I just saw you flirt with that girl. Like, no, we were just talking. She wanted to ask if she could use some of our equipment, and I said no. He's like, no, you didn't. You were flirting with her. No, I don't think so. There's no point. What do you mean? And it would just, like, start to, you know, go from there. So it would cause, like, these little, you know, wounds, so to speak. And I genuinely just didn't give a fuck. But see, when you do repetitions like that, to try and get your ex to break up with you or to fucking just learn her lesson, which she never did, it kind of makes you a piece of shit. And I didn't want to do that. When we broke up, I realized, like, fuck, dude, now I can let go of this persona. No. It doesn't work like that. You can't just pick something up and then just stop doing it. It stays with you forever. It might linger on in the back of your head. You might not think about it, but trust me, it's there. Might not even practice it, but it's there in the shadows, waiting. And narcissism is one of those characteristics that just never goes away, because it's such a good feeling knowing that you're constantly the victim. People are either always jealous of you, people like negative and positive attention or energy or combative behavior or whatever, all of that is just stimulation. It's exciting. Sociopathic people get their kicks from fucking with one person, or even sometimes multiple people. But genuine idea is like getting them to be confused about things. Like knowing that you got one over on them genuinely just gets the narcissist fucking, or excuse me, the sociopath fucking going. That's what makes their fucking day. So, what did I do? I get, like, to put it in check, I guess, is one thing to put it. I started to see that the beauty of my situation that none of you might have. That's a really fucked up way to phrase it. A benefit that I had was that I was a part of another men's group that taught me how to self-reflect and understand what judgments, what judgments are, what facts are, and wishes and wants, how to clean up my language in terms of what feelings are and what beliefs are, right? Instead of saying, I feel like, no, I believe. And then what is the feeling behind that belief? And then in that structure, that is very important. You have to put it in that structure. You don't start with feelings first. You start off with facts. And then you go into judgments, and then you go into feelings. And that is very important. That structure allows you to bring the data, understand where those childish judgments are coming from, and how those judgments make me feel. And if you really want to get into it, you could add texture to it, a color, make it give it a sound. You know, it's just weirdo shit like that, which I like to do. And then once that's done, now you can let out the pain. Right? And my pain is usually in the form, or letting out the pain for me is usually in the form of working out. Because I can't scream, I can't really shout or pound anything around here. I let out the pain in the form of just working out. The grunts, like, give me a reason to be loud. So here's the thing. When I would start to catch myself doing that, I would ask myself, where is this resonating? Like, where is this coming from? Where did this spawn from? And it was always from a situation where I believe somebody got one over on me. Once I felt like somebody got one over on me, I felt like, you piece of shit. And that's where I get my, you know, sociopathic wound, I guess, is when people try to get one over on me. I'm like, no. I'm gonna make sure that I get one over on you. Like, motherfucker. You wanna play this stupid little game? You wanna fucking play around and pretend like you're not doing shit when you're directly affecting my life? All right. I'm gonna spoon feed this fucking bowl of shit right back to you. That's what gets me. And when I get them to admit defeat and they stop doing that stupid bullshit, that's what makes me fucking like, that's what gets me amped. But it doesn't get me like excited and pumped and like, fuck yeah. What it does is just like, okay, lesson learned, move on, moving on. It's kind of like David Goggins, when you take a motherfucker's soul, it's just like, all right, I knew you were a bitch, man, moving on. Why am I getting into this? Some of you might be asking, because this is pretty long. But the reason why I say this is important, because the important skill that I learned was reading people. Reading people was the fucking superpower. You see their nervous twitches, you see, and this is why a lot of sociopaths have like these very calm, like dead eyes, where like the top lids are almost like covering the tops of their eyes. Like narcissistic people, like they have one eye like wide open and the other one kind of like the other lid. It's because they're analyzing. But they're analyzing through sound. They're not analyzing through, they're keeping one, like they're watching you while listening. And the listening is what's causing their fucking, their eye to basic, like the other eye to basically shut almost. And a sociopath is analyzing you by keeping, by squinting their eyes. And actually, I think there was a Chris Voss who said, you know, if you squint your eyes, it gives you focus. And if you calm your voice and speak very slowly, it actually puts you in a different brainwave, which has been actually scientifically proven. It actually works. It actually puts you in an intellectual brainwave where it causes you to think logically. So a lot of people immediately, you know, when I see Myron Gaines and when I see fucking all these other people, or what was it, all those other fucking fresh and fit dickheads, I know that they're just talking out of their ass. Because they don't have, they say like, oh, facts don't care about your feelings. Yeah, okay, sure. Let's go with that. But this is coming from a man who's very emotional. So there's no balls behind his statements, if that makes any sense at all. That's why it lands flat. For a lot of the time, men would agree with him. Yeah, of course, facts don't give a shit about your feelings. But when it's coming from an emotional man, that statement lands flat. There's no truth to it. There's no balls to it. So, any case, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because one thing from my fucking bag, my little bag, and my little notes, my little secret to you guys about reading people is knowing this one very, very, very important rule on reading people. People are rewarded by their actions, by their behavior. And when they've been rewarded and when they've been rewarded enough by their speech, by their actions, by their intellect or whatever, they will continue on that path, carving to the center of the earth and the other side because they've been rewarded so often by that behavior. Right? I mean, you know this. But the thing is, it's so easily forgotten in conversation. So pay attention. Like, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I see this in Destiny a lot, and I want you to see it. Just listen to him.
Big surprise. Destiny, the verified cuckold, the man who brags about how his wife goes home with other men and gets filled up by them, but comes home to him. He says, if you date a younger woman, if you want to date a younger woman, you are a groomer.
Okay, that's what Undead Chronic said, right? He's basically giving you the summation of what's about to be said. Now, let's pay attention to Destiny for a second. This is me cold reading Destiny. Blue hair that is obviously showing that he hasn't been taking care of it. Probably because he's been traveling and he does that a lot. He goes from podcast to podcast. And it shows that he hasn't touched the roots up, which means he's not really dedicated and focused to this blue hair bullshit. His shirt is really wacky, which means he doesn't care about the way he dresses or the way he appears. All he really cares about is his message being delivered. And the other thing is like his eyes don't have the dead eye stare. They have a very what is it? Like, he's constantly searching for data stare. Like, he's got, like, these thousand eye, or thousand, thousand yard stare, right? So, let's get into it.
This blue-haired, weak-jawed, child-abandoning cuckold, that's right, had a kid with some chick, abandoned it, paying child support. He is calling you a groomer for being attracted to fertile women. Let's see what he has to say.
I hear somebody say, I want a younger person that hasn't been in through as many relationships as I hear.
You see how he's like staring off into the distance? He's just kind of like thinking about the next thing to say rather than looking at someone straight in the eyes and just delivering the message. Because he's searching for the things to say. That means he doesn't really believe what he fucking says. Because when you believe something that somebody says, they're staring right at you through their soul, because it comes from a place of practice. It comes from a place of learned, very patient practice that has been repeated over and over and over again. Right? It's written in stone. It is written in their fucking soul, and they're literally telling you verbatim how they learned it. They learned it through fucking struggle. So when somebody locks eyes with you and tells you something, it's because they fucking learned it the hard way.
Wow, that wants a 9-year-old that has no experience.
If you do not accept, this is peak cuck cope. This, seriously, it's cuck cope. If you are unwilling to bang Destiny's salute wife with a puniti larger than Grand Canyon, larger than the Pacific Ocean, but not nearly as wet, Destiny thinks you're a groomer.
And here's the thing about Destiny, about the reward thing that I was made mention, is that the circles that he travels in are all about debate. And remember what I said before? I thought that debating is just gentlemen's way of arguing, like a gentleman's way of arguing, which is associated to me with womanly behavior. Yeah, this is one of those moments. This is one of those moments to me where it's blatantly obvious that Destiny, a man who is, you know, known for his debates, known for his study and research, which, you know, he picks up on the whim. It's not something that he does. You know, he looks up a topic, does a little bit of research, and it's fucking scratching the surface. It's not like he does fucking hours and hours and hours of research. And then he picks the weakest fucking people that aren't scholared. And the reason why I know this is because when he went on a debate with Naked Ape, for those of you who don't remember who the Naked Ape was, I recommend looking up Destiny versus the Naked Ape. The Naked Ape was a gay man who worked in financing. Was it financing? Now I'm second guessing myself, which means it's probably not true. Now, Naked Ape got a degree. He went to a university, very scholared, and he studied stocks, and he studied economics. So, he wasn't somebody to fuck with. And the thing was that Destiny asked, when, you know, he was debating with the Naked Ape about economics and policy, when Destiny was beginning to lose the argument, immediately, he goes to, I'm sorry, what was your credentials or what was your experience or how do you know this, right? Which is the stereotypical tactic of liberals who highly revere education. When they're about to lose a debate, that's the first thing they go to is, what is your credentials on this subject? Because immediately when they're losing, they want to discredit you in any way possible. And that is the easiest and cheapest tactic. So when they're not winning logically, they're going to resort to childish tactics. And so when Destiny asked the Naked Ape, what is your credentials or what is your fucking knowledge on this shit? And then the Naked Ape said, I'm not going to tell you shit, nigga. Like, he had every right to say that. Because he didn't want to give Destiny any kind of ammunition. And he didn't. And what did Destiny do? Kicked him off. He said, I'm sorry, I can't debate or argue with somebody who is ill-equipped. How was he ill-equipped when he was eloquently discussing and fighting every one of his points? And the thing about Destiny is that he gets a rise out of mocking people that are smarter than him with childish tactics. For example, if you don't know what NFT is, and I sure as fuck don't, but it's on my phone, he'll mock you for it. If you mispronounce a word, he'll mock you for it. And he becomes so giddy. He becomes so fucking, like, with this fucking zeal, this spark of just, I don't know, he just acts like a playful child of just like, ha ha, you can't say the word right, ha ha. Like, that to him brings him ultimate joy. It's like me and gay jokes. It's the same fucking principle. And the thing about Destiny is that he's been rewarded so often by his, you know, by his crowd, that he doesn't realize, he doesn't take the time to stop and think that the very people that are funding him to be this fucking stupid, to be this ignorant, because he tells the conservative class, you should just let women do whatever the fuck they want, they're adults. While simultaneously turning around and saying, if you fuck somebody in their 20s and you're older than them, doesn't say how much, you're a predator. And here's the thing about that. Every woman that I've ever met that thinks that way, like, you should only be dating your age between maybe 1 or 2 years older than you or 1 or 2 years younger than you. See what I mean? Like, you need, how do I explain this? You need to, it's like the classroom mentality. You need to stay with your class. You need to stick to somebody who's in your grade level. That's that mentality that I fucking had to escape. I dated women that were older than me for the experience. I dated women that were younger than me for the experience. And dude, I gotta tell you, when you're broke and a woman believes in you, it doesn't matter what their age is. Trust me when I say this. They both fuck spectacularly great. When a woman believes in you and you're broke as shit and they think that you've got potential, they will fuck the life out of you. Doesn't matter the age. Now, the thing about girls that are younger, right, is that they want to learn experience from you. They want you to teach them. They want it. They fucking want it. And as they get older, they realize, like, oh, fuck, there's nothing left to learn. Well, I've got all this experience. And guys are like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'll play with you, but I'm not going to take you serious. You know, they get upset and they get angry because that playfulness, that joy of learning, you know, the technique that the girls would fucking learn from me, you know, they would then go on to do to somebody else, and it's like, yeah, he doesn't like that. He likes something else. And it's like, yeah, no shit. How many dicks were you going to suck before you realize, like, oh, what applies to this guy doesn't apply to the other guy? I could have told you that. Like, women learn through fucking physical experience just as much as men do. Thing is that for women, it takes them a lot longer to stick because they're too busy thinking in their head, why isn't this working? Whereas boys will think, like, oh, that didn't work. And then, like, let me try another tactic. So women will stick with the idea of, why didn't that work? Why isn't this working? Why? And a young man who has that mentality tends to be more effeminate, tends to hold on to things more, tends to hold on to grudges more, tends to be more bitter, cynical. Just having, like, these very feminine traits. And a boy who just accepts it and moves on, who adapts to the situation, tends to be a little more mature, tends to be a little more confident in his thinking. And here's the thing. Destiny plays the part of somebody who's confident, but he really isn't. Destiny plays the part of somebody who can, convince others of his bullshit, but he's really not. At the end of the day, Destiny's just like Hassan Piker, just saying all the buzzwords, saying all the right shit, just so that he can get a few extra shekels, so that he doesn't have to pay. Like, he'll say and do anything. And again, he'll debate people that have no fucking idea what the topic of is about, or, you know, of. I've seen him do this time and time again. He debates people who have no fucking idea, who have maybe just like a white belt understanding of stuff. And the thing is, he recognizes that in people is because they have like this over-simplified sense of confidence. He can read that about people. He can see that. And that's who he chooses to fucking debate. That's who he chooses to fucking, you know, have his little sparring matches with. Because I don't see him having debates with fucking scholars, doctors, lawyers. He'll immediately submit and say, well, yeah, you have a doctorate degree, of course. But it's funny how he won't fucking debate them, yet debates fucking nobody's on the internet. Fucking debated Sneeko. See what I'm saying? And here's the thing, for a man who believes that, you know, it's predatory for an older man to, I mean, not that, again, I don't do it, I don't give a shit. If you do it, good for you, dude, lucky you, Merry fucking Christmas. But, you know, dating a girl in her 20s is, I think, more relaxing, because all they have to think about is like the shit on TV and pop culture versus an older woman she's fucking chaos. Her mind is constantly racing at a million miles an hour about the next big move. So when it comes to destiny, I really think very little and very poorly of him. And the fact that one dumb bitch, I forget her name, the fucking bitch who acts like pearly things, she's Hispanic or whatever, the fact that she thought that he was masculine because he was able to use a few phrases, like, what a dumb fucking idiot. It just goes to show that it really takes very little to nothing to impress that stupid bitch. Because to me, not following the herd takes a lot of fucking balls. You have to be comfortable in being alone. And she's not. Her audience the size of her audience tells me everything. She was fucking gaining momentum. And then when fucking MGTOW decided to reject her, what did she do? She came out with the video saying, "I'm done with the red pill." No. No, you're not. Otherwise, she would have moved on to a different topic, right? But what'd she do? She doubled down. You know, she really thinks that we're fucking stupid. Oh, well. In any case, I just wanted to talk about this because it was really important. You know, Destiny really believes that he's smarter than you guys. He thinks that you guys are making the dumbest fucking decision and the dumbest fucking choices. This coming from a college dropout. Single father. You know, made a dumb mistake, fucking the wrong girl, right? Can't take care of his, or doesn't take care of his kid. Sure, he pays child support, whatever. But he's not there for the kid. It just goes to show you what kind of man he is. Talks out of one side of his mouth while immediately fucking doing something completely different. He's a piece of shit of a fucking human being. Who likes to fucking argue with people on the internet. It's not my style. You gotta go to war with yourself. And don't accept mediocrity. Every time you're tired and you think you can't take that extra step, or you think you can't put out that extra rep, you think you're just like too tired to fucking make that dinner, you think you're too tired or whatever, ask yourself the question. Let's see what I got. Let's see what I'm made of. Let's see what I can do. Let's see what I'm capable of. And use that little message to push forward. It's not going to fucking launch your fucking soul or all of a sudden just muster up all this power. But it's going to prove to you, when you do complete a task under those circumstances, it is going to show you who you really are and what you're really capable of. And you're going to think to yourself, fuck, dude, I've been really holding out. I've been really holding back. Guard your heart.